Auto Central, powered by Auto Trader on cliffcentral.com.
Good morning, folks. Welcome to Auto Central, Motoring's biggest power hour, brought to you by Auto Trader, your trusted motoring marketplace. Join the conversation this morning on Facebook and Twitter at Auto Trader SA, and remember to use our hashtag AutoCentral. That's right. Full studio this morning. Teppo, George, Lawrence, and Chad, everyone in. How are you, boys?
Hey, lekker.
Fantastic, fantastic. Everyone had a good weekend, Teppo?
Yeah, until last night when we heard the news about Mendoza.
Sad news, but sad.
Now I understand why I saw a lion on fire Saturday morning.
Because he was the lion.
He's in Kalagata, eh?
Yeah, well, man.
Rest in peace, Mendoza. I mean, when I interviewed him on a show called Bakai, he says to me, you know, the devil hunts the gifted. I'm like, what are you talking? He says, the things I've done, it could only happen to only like effective, influential people like me. I'm like, what are you talking about? And he told me about his naughty ways, how he couldn't handle fame and how fame almost devoured him.
Sure.
And I think he's finally gave in. But what a pleasure. What a pleasure interviewing that dude.
Yeah, I mean, sad loss for the music industry.
Oh, yes.
I think he knocked down a lot of doors and broke a lot of barriers and did a great job for us.
It's amazing what Gareth Cliff just said, that he's done more to unite the country than most politicians have done.
Exactly. Exactly.
Bringing together black and white,
100%. Yeah. Well, listen, some good news. I mean, last week we spoke quite a bit about Uber and, you know, how to keep it safe and stuff like that. And nice to know that they actually caught the two SOBs.
Yeah. Oh, really?
They caught them. Yeah, they nabbed them.
And because I heard there was another incident now recently. Mm-hmm. Another guy leaving Billy the Bums out in four ways and that. Same sort of story. But reading between the lines of his post there, he was quite intoxicated.
Yeah.
And he also just climbed into pretty much the first car he saw.
Yeah, so basically,
you know, so his own stupidity there. Yeah. He clearly wasn't listening to our show. And he came on with he came in with the same sort of response, saying, in hindsight, people check the cars.
Yeah, exactly.
I should have checked.
And, so they've come out and they said that's exactly what happened. That incident outside Mavida here in Santa is that the guys came out, they jumped into the first car that they saw. The guy happened to be an Uber driver. It was qualified that he was an Uber driver. Clean record, had never done anything dodgy before. And obviously, you know, something happened.
But he wasn't the one hailed, was he?
No, he wasn't the one hailed, no.
He wasn't the one hailed. He just happened to be an Uber driver.
Yeah. Correct.
But he wasn't the one that was actually hailed, so they climbed into the wrong vehicle.
Correct, 100%.
I mean, with a clean record and he goes and does that, something's fishy.
Opportunistic. I think it's just opportunistic crime.
Or pressure from the outside, you know. Could have maybe been, I don't know.
You reckon?
I don't know, bud. Anyway, just keep it safe out there when you are getting into Uber. Like we said, look, download last week's show if you want to know what we spoke about.
Yeah.
Because that will certainly help.
Take
you.
A picture of the driver.
Yeah,
no, I've been employing the things we spoke about last week, because I was in Durban this week. So I used Uber, and a little trick was check the boot. I did it every single time.
Yeah,
and they didn't have any problems with it, eh?
No, I just said to him, I had my rucksack bag with me, so I had something to put in the boot. So I just asked him, pop the boot, put my bag in the boot, and then the second thing I did was asked him for his name.
Cool.
Every time.
Yeah.
You know, usually you'd get in there, you'd say, how's it, Kevin, or whatever the other guy's name is.
Yeah.
This time I got in, I said, what's your name again?
Yeah.
And he gave me his name, and if it corresponded, I'm happy.
Yeah.
Perfect.
Cool. Well, they're just some, you know, some measures to keep it safe when you are using Uber and, you know, other forms of transport.
Drink responsibly
as well, yeah. And then some other cool stuff that I saw this week. I don't know if you guys have seen, but the first airbag for cyclists has been developed.
I don't know if it's the first one. I also saw it floating around in there, but I don't know that it's the first one, because this is sort of something that has been going around for a while.
Okay.
And every now and then it just resurges again, like airless tires and that sort of thing.
Yeah.
So no doubt there's development being made on it.
Yes.
But, and I think they're probably getting closer to
a final product.
Yeah, to a viable, you know, a viable sort of product that can actually work, you know.
Yeah.
But yeah, it's been around the block a few times.
But pretty cool, though. I don't know. Have you seen it?
No.
So basically, if you're riding on your bicycle and you take a fall or you get bumped by a car, or I don't know how the thing deploys or what triggers it, but essentially this airbag wraps over your head, kind of like a helmet, essentially.
So it's a gear. Is it attached to your helmet? Is it on the gear that you wear?
No. So you're riding without a helmet on, and then it will it blows up over your head while you fall.
Wow.
Yeah. Which is actually quite amazing.
Yeah,
head look injuries, like a moron, but I think it saves you.
Hey, look, I'd rather be a safe moron.
Yeah, exactly. Only for a couple of seconds.
Exactly. So that's pretty cool.
Yeah.
And then, T, you and I were chatting, and this is what today's show is about. And essentially what I wanted to ask, the guys in studio here is, we've seen that the mayor of Tshwane has cut back on some rather high ticket items, and them being BMW, vehicles. And I wanted to ask, do we think that politicians, government officials, mayors, councillors,
the
works, should drive luxury vehicles?
If they pay for it themselves,
no, it depends. Let's talk about whether someone should have a car or not. First of all, before the
company
kind of,
car, you mean?
Yeah, before the level of the car, you know. Okay. And
I don't have a company car from Auto Trader.
Do you need both?
Yeah.
Do you need a car in order to do your job? So, do you visit customers?
Hmm,
okay. I suppose that's the first question, that's the reason you need a car is to do your job.
Yeah.
If you need a car to do your job, then what kind of a car do you need to do your job? Yeah. So
it doesn't make business sense to have that car.
Do the councillors need to travel on a daily, weekly, even if it's on a weekly basis, maybe you shouldn't have a company car, but, do the councillors need to travel to go and do their job? That's the first question.
I'm not going to pull it away. I'm not going to say that it's necessarily a bad thing that they've got a vehicle. It's just that, I think the Mickey's been pulled out of it in the sense of what vehicles they're being afforded. And I hear what he's saying. Ossoli's saying the same thing. You know, you can get the same job done with a Toyota Corolla or a Hyundai i10.
Absolutely.
And I agree. The thing is, I don't think that it needs to be a top of the range 7 series BMW.
Yes.
Yeah, you can put them in a 3 series BMW. Yeah. Not a problem. It also doesn't need to be an M division vehicle. You know, you can put them in a respectable 320, something of the sort. If anything, put them in something that is possibly even hybrid. Something that is showing, hey, listen, we actually care about
the environment,
the traffic and the environment. Let's set the example.
Mm.
I mean, if I have to take a look at, and Lawrence and myself are both on launches now. What is deemed to be mid-level consumer vehicles, packed with the same sort of technology that you were getting out of these old vehicles. So you put them in an Opel Astra or something of the sorts, and they're going to have the cruise controls and the safety and
aircon, power steering,
ABS, and all that sort of stuff. I mean, that's pretty much standard fare across any vehicle you buy now. But in terms of having a nice vehicle that will do the job, is representative of the quality and the state of the department. You know, you can get away with so much less. It doesn't look like you're squandering money.
Exactly.
And there was a big thing. I mean, the bit, just off on a slight tangent here is, what sort of car do you buy if you're going to go and approach customers? If you pitch up there in the latest Porsche Panamera, they're going to think, whoa, we're paying this guy too much.
Oh, yeah, exactly. Oh.
But if you pitch up there in a 1978 Cortina, they're going to say, this guy doesn't know what he's talking about.
Yeah.
He can't even afford. But if you pitch up there in a relatively run-of-the-mill C-Class, 3 Series BMW, okay, successful enough to know what they're talking about, got their head screwed on right, sort of people that I want to deal with.
So, do they need a car? What level of car do they need?
How much does it cost the taxpayer?
Exactly.
As well, yeah.
Yeah,
because at the end of the day, we're paying for it.
Oh, yeah.
But then the shoe on the other foot, if these guys were buying their own cars, would we as consumers bitch and moan about, oh, look, you know, how much is he earning?
Yeah.
Because, you know, he's gone out and bought a flashy vehicle.
But
some guys like cars though, you know, so is that justified?
No, but I don't think they need to behave like rock stars. You know, rock stars and hip hop stars, we're rolling around in the exotics. No, they don't need to do that. I think they need transport.
I don't know. You know what? The name's been lost, but aren't these people civil servants?
Yeah, yes.
Now,
correct.
Somebody that's in a corporate business that is taking risks, is employing their own capital.
Story
very different story.
Yeah, 100%.
Okay. Someone that is a civil servant surely that doesn't matter. Have the same the same sort of perks, the same sort of you're in it because you're trying to do something good. You're not in it for profit, that kind of thing.
Yeah.
These people are civil servants.
Because I'll tell you, I mean, I saw the one event in some rural, and let me not go into details, but in a very rural area with no services whatsoever. And then these government officials rock up in like X5s and Range Rovers and Q7s, and they pitch a marquee with air conditioning in it, and they give people food parcels. Now, when they leave, it's back to square one. Yep. So those cars actually are a complete contrast. I mean, but had they just parked somewhere and got into some taxis, then people would have felt like
part of the people.
You know what I mean?
Sure, these guys actually want to see a difference being made.
Absolutely.
And they would rather spend the money on fixing infrastructure than splashing out on
some
luxury
comedian
vehicles.
Said they don't, some comedian said they don't need to build roads because in those comfortable cars, it feels like tarred road.
Yeah, no, quite correct, quite correct. Now, what makes the social media networks is when you see Pravin Gordhan traveling on Gautrain.
Yes.
You know, when you see him in economy class on a flight. So if we had a slightly better public transport system, yes, I'd like to see them using that.
Yep.
You know, an effective, whether it's a bus service or a train service, subway, whatever, something of the sort. And if they used that to show, listen, I am one of the people.
Yeah.
That, I think, has got a good weight to it.
Well, that's the thing. If it's not affecting you on a daily basis, so if you need to leave, you know, Pretoria and come to Johannesburg, A, jump on the Gautrain, arrive at the Sandton station and get into an Uber and actually, you know, use the public transport that the
people that you're serving are using.
100%.
Because then you would know what their needs are.
You know what their needs are. And you know what's working and how long they're waiting for buses. And, you know.
In the Nelson Mandela Bay, what's his name? The mayor there?
Trudip.
He's now stopped business class flights for government officials.
Good stuff.
They now fly off of economic, which makes a lot of sense.
There's nothing wrong with it.
Yeah, cattle class.
So now, what must officials drive?
I don't know. Like, I think, you know.
And we spoke economy. Saving money.
I come back to civil servants.
Yeah.
You know, and if the person is spending 8 hours a day in an office, there's no point in driving a luxury car.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
You know.
I mean, look, if he's going on a long trip and he gets called out and the only way to get there is, you know, if he has to drive and he has to work, you know, do they have a fleet of, you
pool
know,
cars?
Pool cars, but are they luxury pool cars? Or
no, I think to Chad's point, BMW 320i is as good as any
C-class,
any car.
A4.
No. What I would do, and this is also now, this is a bit of a double-edged sword here, because this has also been in the news lately, is support a manufacturer of a vehicle, or a support a vehicle of a manufacturer that manufactures that vehicle locally.
100%.
Now we're talking.
Yes. Okay.
Yeah.
So
yes.
If we produce the Toyota Corolla Quest locally, hop into one of those.
Yeah.
The Ford Ranger. Yeah. Hop into a Ford Ranger. Yeah. It might be a somewhat pricey vehicle, but okay, granted, we no longer produce the 3 Series here, but we used to produce the 3 Series here.
But the police should be getting those fast cars.
Absolutely.
They should absolutely be getting those quick cars because
and the right training.
Because, well, and the right training, yes.
Otherwise it's crashes everywhere.
But the police sit with sometimes I think old dilapidated cars. That are in a state of disrepair. I mean, I see a lot of nice cars on the road from the police as well. But didn't you have a question, Tyron, about which cars police drive?
Well, we did. I mean, we've had this in the bank for a while, and it's something that we wanted to chat about. But if you have a look at what cops are driving, you know, and I think we need to put this into a particular category because there's obviously just your run of mill, you know, your normal police
patrol car.
And then you've got your highway, you know, like your traffic cops and, you know, your high speed unit. And granted, those actually should be driving the fastest car on the road. Cause I think, like you've said, Tepo in the past, if you're going to rob a bank and your getaway car is a GTI and you know that law enforcement are in a Ferrari, you're going to think twice before you rob that bank.
Oh, yeah, absolutely.
You
know? If it's an NP200, you're sort of like, I got this in the bag.
Yeah, exactly.
Look, just last week on the N1, just by N1 north, on the Maraisberg off-ramp, a police vehicle was on fire. And I couldn't even, because now I took pictures and they're like, hey, come here. And there was a canine unit kind of car. And they were taking the dog out. Now it tells you that car cannot handle, because it was some funny Yana brand that I just didn't look properly. Because when I take pictures, they're like, hey, no pictures taken here. But I mean, if you check, it's probably a weaker Yana kind of brand car. It was on fire.
Probably because it can't handle the paces it's putting it through. Yeah. But in America, don't they drive, V8s.
Yeah.
I see. Yeah, they always. I mean, the Crown Vic. They used to pilots around the patrol car. General patrol car was the Ford Crown Vic. Yeah. And yeah, I mean, everything there had a V8. And you had a blender with a V8.
Now they're in Dodge Chargers.
Yeah. Yeah.
The US police. And it says, it's Chrysler claimed that it's the fastest American police car in the history ever. So, you know, you're not going to outrun it, are you?
Well, you can try.
I think if I was going to be a cop, I think I'd definitely want to be in Italy.
How do they get in and out of those cars? I mean, it's impractical for a
with
cop
style,
to
but have you seen the Italians? Everything is done in style. On the cobble street, you get out.
Hey, let me tell you, I asked, because a lot of traffic cops don't wear their safety belts. They can clip it behind, and then when we asked, they said, "Listen, when you've got a firearm that's cocked up and you're in an emergency, when you want to get out, that firearm can actually release
discharge.
So you need to be able to get out quick." I'm like, "Oh, so you want your cop to die? Because in case of an accident, they will die."
And that's been, I mean, there's been a couple of incidents like that. I think it was not too long ago here in London. Actually, that there was that accident with police, and there was a traffic officer killed there also because not wearing seatbelts and that. But I understand it in terms of getting in and out and being able to operate with the vehicle. Yes, unrestrained. So I actually feel sorry for them that they actually need to sort of travel like around like that because they need to be on that high alert, basically hair trigger sort of approach to things that they're driving around risking their own lives.
Yeah.
Because if he's not wearing a seatbelt and I'm in an accident with him, him not wearing a seatbelt makes no difference to me.
True.
It makes a difference to him. You know, it's just.
But have you seen the gear that those guys have to wear?
That's not pretty.
I'm not sure the seatbelt even fits around that gear.
Because to get to the seatbelt to undo it while chasing a criminal is a little. It's also another.
I mean, it's also, I suppose, it's different strokes, different depending on what they're doing. If they're just a random patrol, if they're just commuting, that sort of stuff, you know, and they're running around in the, whether it's the Almiras or something of the sort.
Yeah.
But when it is one of those pursuit or interceptors, the guy needs to, the flying squad, task forces and that sort of thing, they really do need to be, you know, top of the A game.
Exactly.
But you see, if they drive a very fast car, then they'll be in front of you, so they don't have to be in a rush to get out of the car and unhook the safety belt.
You say this, we actually work with someone who's quite involved, and I sat him down and had a discussion with him, and he was saying that 9 times out of 10, they are so well equipped, they don't have to be in a car that is as fast, but they know how to drive. So they can take a corner at 120 k's an hour because the guy knows how to drive the car, whereas the person is just committed the crime, not have the same kind of skill.
Try doing a corner at 120 in an NP3. Good luck.
No, you obviously got to be in the right kind of car. No, I mean, if you're chasing a criminal, you need to be in something that's obviously,
that's built for stuff like that.
I mean, we do have there was an interceptor a while back, old job that I did, and we interviewed the guys in the interceptor, and they had a Renault Megane F1, and this vehicle wasn't stock. It was known as the interceptor. The driver wore a harness.
Jeez, luck.
You know, his passenger sat there with the three-pointer, but they buckled up. But this was for the highway stuff. This was for your cashing transit heists and that sort of stuff, where the guys were using the big 7 series and the likes to ram cars off the road, you know, so they were using powerful vehicles. So essentially, the bank robber chases. And seriously high states of tune. This was probably one of the most powerful. It constantly ran around almost on race tires, what they call semi-slicks. It was permanently fitted with this just because it had to be able to handle.
Yeah.
This car was in a massive, massively high state of tune. It was rumored to be the fastest Renault pretty much in South Africa.
Yeah.
And it was absolutely brutal. And there's a lot of their vehicles. And this isn't just a recent thing.
Yeah.
You go back and you bought a car off police auction, one of the ex-flying squad cars.
Yeah.
That car was warm.
They used to drive Astras, didn't they?
Even before that, I'm going to go, a mate of mine.
Oh, the Opel Astra 200 IS.
Yeah.
That car brings me terrible memories.
Yeah. Well, you get chased a lot.
No, what do you mean chased? I was
that headless. That was not standard.
It was not standard.
That had management work. It had exhaust. There was intakes, inductions. And before that, you want to go back to the Opel Monza that they used to use.
Yeah. Okay.
Yellow one, Nochal.
The Monzas. Yes. Okay. And the white flying squad ones. You used to get the 200 CDI, which was the fuel injected one. They used to take that and pull the fuel injection off of it and fit serious carbs on it, branches, pipes, the whole works. The old Skylines.
I remember
the old Skylines.
The old Skylines. They sounded so good. Why? Yes. Because they were running full Bosal exhaust systems. These cars were proper. They had tuned suspensions. They were They were doing a police car was the one that you wanted to drive.
Yeah.
Hell.
Then what? young boys wanted to be police. So now, you see, I think weaker cars in the police force takes away the dignity as well. I mean, which young boy wants to be a cop who drives in a little NP3 and that makes a lot of noise and goes nowhere? You know what I mean?
Yeah.
And he gets outrun by thugs. That is why a lot of, sorry, Chad. No. That's why a lot of us growing up in the townships looked up to criminals more than to cops. Because when you know, when there's a car chase, he'll be outrun. And this guy would come up and say, well, who's the daddy? So you're like, wow, I want to be like you. And you don't realize that you want to be like a criminal.
Subscribing to a life of crime.
But if the cops always got them, you're like, this cop is on fire. I want to be a cop. You know what I mean? So there's a lot more to it than just driving fast cars.
That's put out in the marketplace, isn't it?
Have you seen some of them that our local guys are running? Audi RS3.
Yes.
Focus STs, Golf R's, BMW 135s. Those are proper hatches.
Yeah.
You think twice
as a criminal.
Oh, yeah.
So it's an image dignity, even when for the criminals who've got no respect for the law, they'll be caught out anyway. So later on, whoever wants to be a criminal will think, not worth it in this country.
I'm going to get caught.
Yeah, exactly. Have you seen some of the Italians? So I just want to read something here. So Italy smart suited, they call themselves the Carabinieri. And they're the military arm of the Italian police. So these are the boys.
Chiesa.
All right. Yeah. Being suave and sophisticated types, they don't just slap on some stickers and two tones on a bunch of Fiat 500s. Oh no. See, these guys, their previous fleets have included Lamborghini Gallardos, the Hurricanes, and a Lotus Evoras. But this time they've, stayed on home turf and they've got the new Alpha, it's the M3 rival. I think it's the 503 brake horsepower, a Giulia QV.
Yeah, I don't know if you want to,
what's that car like?
Well, it just took the Nürburgring lap record from the Porsche Panamera.
Well, okay,
so no one's outrunning these.
No. Listen, but I don't understand. It's a proper car, but the only problem that I have with that, maybe I'm being a little facetious about it in that, but, is that all you need to do is have a full tank of fuel. And just carry on driving, because sooner or later that car's going to break.
Okay.
And then you're pretty much in the clear there. Because as soon as that Alfa Romeo breaks, then you're fine.
Okay. You just got to.
But where are you going to drive so fast in Italy?
With those roads.
I don't know. I haven't. Yeah.
You know, actually, anywhere, and that's the thing. Like you were saying, they don't need the fastest car. They just need to be able to handle it.
Mm.
And it's exactly that. I just need to be able to stay with you long enough that I can identify your car. And this is also coming from the police. Stay with you long enough to be able to identify the car, get a pin on on where you are going, and
set up a roadblock.
It's exactly that. You know why? Because a radio travels faster than a car.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
And that's, I can quote that. That was told to me by an ex-flying squad.
Oh.
No, ex-flying squad member.
Because those guys.
I don't need to catch you. Yeah. I just need to stay close enough to you to be able to identify the vehicle, how many perps are in, whether you're armed, what the plate is, and where your general intended direction is.
Yeah.
Because after that, my radio travels a lot faster than what you can ever drive.
But now you see, with that fact, then they will resort to the NP300s and those little 1. Whatever.
No, listen, analysis. It still needs to stay with it a little bit.
Yeah,
because it just goes flying
past. You must
stay
with him.
Yeah. Yeah, you want to stay with him, but you don't need to catch him, and you don't need to stay with him forever. Because, I mean, if the criminal's going to drive in such a reckless manner...
Then he'll cause harm to the community as well.
Police is going to dial it back. He's going to say, this is unsafe for me to continue.
How many times in South Africa have you heard of car chases ending in the criminals crashing?
Plenty.
They crash those cars when they get under pressure.
No, and that's the thing, if you're being chased by a slower car... I don't know. You probably try to push your luck a bit. But anyway, do we agree that cops are allowed to drive fast cars depending on what unit they're working for?
No. It must not depend on any unit because it's also a dignity thing.
Okay.
Cops must drive powerful cars. Finish and klar.
Finished.
Yeah.
And they've got to look good.
Yeah.
But other government officials.
I think Tepo's got a point. I think in South Africa and the rest of the world, but in South Africa, the law enforcement, it needs to be something that young people aspire to.
Oh, yes.
You need to want to become a cop. You need to want to become a fireman.
Yeah.
You need to want to become those things.
So that you can respect the uniform.
Yes.
Because there isn't. That just doesn't exist in South Africa.
Well,
you don't
I think
respect
that's dropped off a hell of a lot. I mean, when we were all at school as kids people came and said, what do you want to be? Oh, I want to be a fireman. I want to be a policeman. Yeah. I want to be a nurse.
Now,
it was those, traditional kind of
career options.
State.
Less luxury cars inside the council, more on the police force.
Now climbing into a uniform is something you do when you're just you know, couldn't quite hack it or get a university entrance.
Yeah.
Look, sadly.
I'll tell you, a friend of mine was with the Hawks. He got shot, shame, may his soul rest in peace, in Dobsonville during a robbery, Monday morning robbery. And at his funeral, then you wanted to be like a cop because there were these cops in...
In the number one.
Even the... I'm talking the cars now. Your SS Luminas, your Golf R's, your S Super Tables. And I saw the look in these young boys' faces. You could see they all want to be cops because there was dignity. They were marching and they did all in unison and they were respected and respectable. They were clean and... Yo, my guy.
No, that's what we want. The guard of honors.
And that's what... That image has disappeared.
Aspiration. Exactly.
You know, and that image must remain even if you see one car... One cop car in the street, that's what you must see at all times. But when he rocks up in a little thing that makes a lot of noise and goes nowhere, and he gets out with a discolored uniform, and he can't run. No, doesn't work like that. Because then they must shoot, because if they can't chase you, they'll realize the bullet is faster. So they must shoot you, and they get into trouble again. It's just not right. Maybe I should have been a cop, you know?
No, I prefer you on the radio.
I'm kind of glad you didn't.
Yeah, cool.
So, T, do you know that we host Motoring's biggest power hour?
Yes, I do.
And do you know that it's not just a show about cars, but it's a show that covers a host of relevant motoring topics?
Yes, I do.
And do you know that there are over 1 billion cars currently in use on Earth and that the new car smell is composed of over 50 volatile organic compounds?
No.
Make sure you're up to speed with all things motoring by tuning into Auto Central every Monday morning at 9 a.m. just after the Gareth Cliff Show, or download the podcast on autotrader.co.za. Auto Central, motoring's biggest power hour, powered by Auto Trader. Car news and reviews on Auto Central.
Cool, man. Well, we're back, and time to chat cars. Chad and Lawrence, you guys have been at a couple of launches last week. I think today we're chatting Kia Cerato and the new Renault Megane. What's happening? What's happening out there?
Yeah, Cerato and the new Megane. You tackle Megane first.
Oh, yeah. Okay. So we're out at Red Star. Renault South Africa released the new Megane.
Where is Red Star? Sorry.
It's actually Mpumalanga.
Oh, okay.
It's roughly an hour's drive from here out into the middle of nowhere.
Is that how you say Mpumalanga?
I just giggled.
Hey, listen, dude. I don't do pronunciations.
What's the right pronunciation, Zepo?
Mpumalanga.
Mpumalanga. There you go. So anyway, yeah, they had us out there. Two different models, the GT line and then the EDC GT, which is their top of the line.
Anything with GT.
Well, Chad and I were actually having a bit of a chat now. I don't know what it is with the European manufacturers, but they all seem to have adopted this singular silhouette. If you look at the Cerato, the Peugeot 308, Megane, GT line, they all sort of look the same from the side. Yeah. It's a bit crazy. But then you get the EDC GT, which is the one that we actually got to thrash around the track. We thrashed it. and then a little bit of handling activities on the skid pan at the back. Thoroughly enjoyable car.
Is it a nice car to drive?
Yes. A lot of the fellow journalists didn't quite like the fact that the car now has rear-wheel steering.
Rear-wheel steering?
Yes. Up to 3.5 degrees on the back wheels.
Like a forklift?
Yes.
Okay, I'm just trying
believe
to
it yeah, yeah, believe it or not. Believe it or not. Yeah, they just say in a C segment hatch, there's just more to go wrong. But when you actually get to drive the car and you're on a racetrack, and Chad he'll tell you this: when you're on a front wheel drive car and you barrel into a corner too quickly and you climb on the brakes,
so the rear end
of the car decides to get a little bit lively. Okay. And we've seen this happen with ST and was it the 275. When you do this with this car, you go into the corner and you think, oh, well, I've overcooked it. I'm going into the grass. And then the back end starts coming around like a drift car. It is the most insane feeling in the world.
Now, is this something that's been done before in previous cars? Because it's the first time I've ever heard
of
you
got it in a Porsche, mostly your French vehicles.
Okay.
You know, and Porsche did it at one stage as well.
Rear wheel drive and rear steering. What?
It's only up to 3 degrees.
Yeah, 3.5 degrees. Yeah.
Yes, that's very, very slight.
Very, very slight. But when you're actually standing outside the car and when they're doing a slalom on the skid pan, you can actually see the rear wheels rotating slightly. And this was one of the activities we did. They stack a row of cones and they tell you, right, head straight for those cones at, 40 k's an hour. And at the very, very last minute, the cones disappear in front of the car and then you swerve out. And you go around the cones without touching a single one.
Sure.
And it is, you're basically heading towards a brick wall and then swerving around it. It's just crazy.
That was for big, you know, those Patco buses, those long Patco buses.
Bendy bus.
They actually turn. No, the huge ones. Mm. The rear wheels also turn.
Yeah. Now this is kind of the same thing. So yeah, the 449,900 rand for the GT. And I'm honestly going to tell you, it is worth every cent. Alcantara leather seats, brushed aluminium, carbon fiber, just, it is a real little hot hatch. I'd be inclined to say that, you know, things like, your VWs and STs, you know, they better watch out.
They better watch out.
Yeah.
So would you compare this, would this be compared to a GTR and the, Focus?
Yeah.
The GT is actually more just, I don't want to say that it's full blown performance hatch right up there. It is about, it's about 100,000 rand off on the, in terms of the price.
Yeah.
And it's only coming in there with a 1.6 litre turbo. So it's not in there with a 2 litre turbo.
Okay.
So this is going to be going up against the likes of your 208 GTIs, 308 GTIs, possibly Fiesta STs and the likes, even though it's got a little more space than that, but it's not quite right up there with your proper big hot hatches. It's sort of bridging the gap there. When the RS comes out though, in this model, that is going to be the 1 2-liter turbo that is going to go up against the likes of GTI, STs, and the likes. Yeah.
Fantastic. And obviously we're going to have stuff up on our site soon. Lawrence, you'll obviously...
Story is actually up.
Story is up. Fantastic.
Yeah, so story's up with images of the day's activities.
Yeah.
They've actually got four models. The entry-level Dynamique, the GT manual, the GT line EDC, and then the top of the line, which is the GT EDC, 7-speed flappy paddle gearbox.
Sure.
Plenty fun to drive.
Well, it sounds really, really nice. It really, really does.
So you say it's worth every cent.
Oh, yeah. No, look, one of those cars that I walked away from going, my money. Oh. Absolutely. It's also, the departure from Renault's previous styling, I really liked, because, you know, with previous styling on your Renault Megane, you had these strong cut back windows and, you know, they're really ridiculous clown looking cars. Yeah. This now, I really like the styling.
Wow.
Which, then takes you to the Serato, and you wonder, were they using tracing paper?
Just putting that out there. So, Chad. Yeah, this vehicle, it's still going to come out. It's not out yet. Or
actually, it's a little bit of a niggle here, because the Serato was one of the first vehicles that I've been to a launch of, where they sat there and they said, "You're going to drive the car here, but it's actually not really allowed on the road."
Oh gosh. Well, what's the point?
Why?
Yeah.
And it hasn't. We don't have the homologation certificate yet.
Okay, now do you just want to unpack what homologation?
Yeah, I was like,
homologation.
Speak English to me, please.
Homologation.
Trust me, he also doesn't understand.
No, in general, every car needs to pass through a standardized set of tests before it can be sold in a specific market. So it's almost like your SABS testing, just so that it's approved for local conditions, for, you know, local climates and the likes. So that you can sell it, so that they know that you're not just selling some hack job that's actually going to endanger the lives of others or anything of the sorts. And as soon as you change things like the headlight gloss, which has happened here, because the Serato, it's not an all-new vehicle like it is with the Megane, it's actually just a more facelift. So they've changed up a couple of things. We'll get into what they've changed just now. But they need to test the vehicle again, and it needs to go through this approval process. And homologation is pretty much just an approval process before you can sell a vehicle. And where it used to be between like 7 and 14 days for a manufacturer to be able to get this certificate and have the vehicle signed off, it's now up to 120 days. Sure. So they applied for it, but the department's now just dragging their heels, and they'd already done all the planning and everything for the launch, and the certificate still hadn't arrived. And because of that, they can't have it registered, they can't put it on the Inata system, all that sort of thing, all the legal nitty-gritty
it. Yeah.
Homologation is pretty much just the approval process of a vehicle before it can hit roads and be sold to the public.
Okay. For safety and technical requirements.
Mainly safety. And like I say, there are a couple of changes to the Serato. So it's now sitting with new headlights. It's got new grille, new bumpers at the front in the sedan and the hatch. New bumper and taillights for the sedan. A little refreshed, a little bit of sort of LED-style treatment there. There's some new alloy wheels. There's a new upholstery as well in the EX models.
Looks a little like the Lexus.
It's pulling a couple of styling cues. They're going with that big tiger nose design up front. So now it's looking a lot more like the current Sportage and Sorento and the likes. So, yeah, not a bad-looking vehicle. Actually, very, very nice. Very, very enjoyable. And, nothing over the top. Like I say, it's just a facelift. They've actually dropped the 2-liter from the lineup now. So they were finding that the 1.6 just wasn't selling as well as what the 2-liter was. The 2-liter was being chosen by fleet operators, but consumers were opting to go for the 1.6 rather than the 2-liter. So they've dropped the 2-liter from it, and you're now getting the 1.6 in a high spec, and that is now the top of the range one. It's the 1.6 SX model.
Okay.
Yeah. This is both in the sedan and the hatch. And a great thing is that those of you that have been keeping your ear to the wires and that are tied into what's happening in the motoring world will know that Kia has now done extremely well in the JD Power Map quality survey. JD Power Map and Associates are a company that sits there and does quality assessments of faults per 100 vehicles. And Porsche's always been one of those that has led. And the Kia Soul is now ranked number one in the compact multi-purpose vehicle segment. And the Kia Sorento is ranked number one in the midsize SUV segment. So it's also got the first place at the Autobild annual quality report, which is a German institution as well. So they're doing absolutely fantastic.
They really
in terms of their quality. Yeah.
So we owned the previous generation Sportage and then had the latest one. And I must say those cars were absolutely spectacular to drive. They're well built. They finished nicely. I think they for a I wouldn't say top of the range, but for somebody who's got a young family, I think you can't go wrong with
value,
the Kia.
Value for money. Now the thing was they never really had massive problems in terms of reliability and faults and that. Build quality was sometimes less than ideal. I'm not going to say it was bad, but it was just you would have liked a little more.
Yes.
And then of course the overall design of it was never really as appealing. It wasn't an attractive vehicle when compared to the Mercs and the BMWs and the Audis of the day.
Yeah.
And they've got the two big German designers, Donker Volke and Scheuer, who come from Audi and Lamborghini.
They've gone across.
Yeah, and they've gone across, and that's why the vehicles are looking so
it
much
makes
better.
A lot of sense. Because when you look at the Sonata, is the Kia Sonata?
Yeah, you get Sonata. There's the Optra now.
No, that's the Hyundai Sonata, isn't it?
Hyundai Sonata. The Kia Optra.
The big one.
Yeah. Good looking vehicle,
yes.
Hey?
Yes.
I mean, they are. They're making
what
some.
A government official should be driving.
Actually, Kids. Because then,
you can put them in it.
Because they're dignified, they're nice cars.
Very, very nice. My niggle with that is, though, it's not really locally produced, and I'd like to see them supporting a locally produced car.
I think it's a very good point.
Yeah, you make a good point.
So, let's just start tying things up here quickly and tell you about the prices here and give you the model walkthrough on the Kia Sorato. It starts with a 1.6 EX manual. So, of course, the EX is basically, let's say, E for entry level. That's a way to remember it. In a manual, it's going to come in at 299,995. So $5 less than 300,000 rand. Fantastic value for money. I mean, these cars are very, very well equipped. And one of the things that the Koreans are getting right is that they're not giving you an extensive options list. This car is already bundled with just about everything.
Yes.
Maybe you can spec a larger set of alloy wheels and a sunroof, but that's about it.
Yeah.
So many of them come with Nav and that. The infotainment system on this one is a little dated, unfortunately. And I'd like to see an update there. They've got the space for it. It's my one criticism of the car. Other than that, fantastically quiet, great drive, not overly exciting, granted, but if you're looking for a good, honest car that's not going to break the bank, go and take a look at the Sorato. It's been a fantastic seller for them. All right, so we start there at 300,000. Automatic is going to be about 12,000 Rand more expensive. 13,000 Rand more expensive at 312. Let's round it off to 313 there. Then we're going into the 1.6s, they've still got the 2-liter listed here, but of course those are being phased out now. So you're going with the 1.6s, and those are coming at 345 and 357 for the automatic. So, some really, really respectable prices there for what is a quality vehicle with reliability, good styling, and just recently updated.
And then again, Kia with their 5-year, their warranty.
I see a 5-year unlimited.
5-year unlimited kilometer warranty.
I mean, that's fantastic. Yeah. That really is like, okay.
But didn't Hyundai start that ball rolling?
Yeah.
And they've extended it to 7 years. Yeah. It was a 7-year on certain drivetrain and engine components. Yeah. So, you know, your major things. It's not going to cover, let's say, your starter, but it's going to cover your gearbox.
Yeah. Which gives you peace of mind, though, doesn't
additions,
it?
Yeah.
It's just peace of mind.
But it's showing faith in their product.
Yes, exactly.
Yeah. If they're prepared to do that, they know that, listen, we're not selling a dud here.
Yeah.
And JD Power Map has just come to the party and confirmed that, saying, listen, you're buying quality here.
Yeah, these cars are safe.
Safe, reliable, fantastic quality. So, well, very,
let's
very
hope impressive little vehicle. You know, pass their exams and we that can see them on the road. Homologation.
Yeah, that one.
Say it.
Homologation.
They're well done.
Well, nice
home.
Word.
It's home. Well. The word home plus regulation and somewhere in between letters get lost and it's homologation. Yeah, that's what it is.
We'll talk about race homologation in. That's a fun one for me. When a vehicle needs to be homologated to be able to race.
Yeah.
That's interesting. Then you get interesting cars. And you'll know, we'll have a discussion off air. Cool. About that.
Fantastic. Well, this is not a break. This is just the intro to a, to a so you can breathe
so
for
George,
3 seconds.
Are you on standby?
And then,
here we go.
Talking tech on Auto Central.
Lovely. So a couple of weeks ago, we obviously started to touch on self-driving cars and having a look at the top players. And we spoke about, you know, guys that are collaborating and bringing, you know, self-driverless cars to market. And we unpacked and we touched on Project Titan. And, George, I see there's been some happenings with Project Titan. What's going on?
From everything that I've read on this topic, Apple is well known for wanting to do something different. They don't want to do what everyone else is doing. And it seems like they've pulled back on this project because the engineers just can't seem to come up with something that no one else is doing.
Yes.
And it's more just copying what everyone else is doing. So they've pulled back on it, calling it a project reboot.
Okay.
And it's only recent. I mean, a couple of weeks ago, we spoke about how they're putting a push behind the project itself.
So this comes as a bit of a surprise.
Yeah. It is a bit of a surprise. Yeah. So they're laying off a whole bunch of people, but they've made an investment in, I don't even know how to say this company's name, Powerhouse Didi Chuxing.
Same to you.
Bless you, George.
Whatever I say, same to you.
Which is a ride sharing company like Uber, and they're downshifting this Project Titan, and after pumping resources in it for the last 2 years, they're stepping back and retrenching a whole bunch of people. So it remains to be seen. And Tesla and other major car makers and rival Google are revving up their investments in self-driving cars.
It's a door opening.
So, but it seems like everything centers around this. The engineers just can't come up with something that's
different. And in true Apple style, they don't want to go and recreate something that's already out there.
Right, they don't want to be a follower.
So they've probably cut back, and there's probably someone who's come up with this really, really out the box kind of idea, and they've gone, okay, cool, well, let's have a look and see what we can do. Because I still think it's a market they would want to play in anyway.
I think they would have to.
But I don't know if making their own self-driving car is the way.
Rather partner with somebody who's making a self-driving car and then just make it the best sound, like from a technology point of view, infotainment, let's call it, the entertainment system in a vehicle.
I'm sorry, but Jordan, you're going to take offense to this, but since when has Apple ever subscribed to that MO? They don't.
iTunes, Chad.
Yeah, exactly. You know, that sort of thing. They could have sat there and piggybacked so much other technology that – you know, works well, but instead they were so hell-bent on developing it themselves that they released what was a flawed product.
Hmm.
You know, it had critical flaws and critical bugs, and it took a couple of years for them to sort of iron this out. When you saw it with iPads, you saw it with iPhones, even the Macs. We saw that, and
at least they don't have phones that explode.
Well, yeah.
Upon charging.
Yeah, I don't know, but the other people have got phones that can actually use Bluetooth. Something that they still haven't gotten right.
I'm not sure the other side of the Bluetooth working for you.
It would make sense to sit there and partner with a manufacturer or a company, a Toyota, a Nissan, a BMW, something of the sort.
Or a Kia even.
Sucking a little bit of humble pie there. I mean, Kia, I've got it here. Kia wants to have the first full autonomous car by 2030. I'm sorry, by 2030, you're 10 years late to the party.
Yeah. Yeah.
Because we're maintaining 2020.
Yeah.
So what do you think that Kia, who can make vehicles, and we've seen them make vehicles, and make
very good vehicles,
successful vehicles.
Yeah.
What's to stop them partnering and having that knowledge share there?
So it's a bit of humble pie. I'm not sure I agree with you. And the reason I don't agree with you is because where have you seen a virus on Apple? And the reason their closed system works the way it does is because they've decided to close their systems the way they have, you don't see viruses.
That's because they create viruses.
They don't. They don't. You don't see viruses on their systems. You don't.
No, it was agreed. Their systems start and shut down quickly.
So their systems are very robust.
Yeah.
I won't take that away from them.
And the reason those systems are robust is because they've got a very closed, gated environment that they operate in. And maybe you're right. I mean, maybe partnering with someone else is a good idea, but would it open them up to attack? From the software point of view,
I believe that that's something that they'd actually need to discuss as to, you know, where are the lines drawn? Where are the boundaries drawn? How much of your car technology are we allowed to use, and how much of our IT are you going to be able to use in terms of our systems and the lines? And working together to, you could create, quite comfortably create, with Apple's knowledge of closed
exospheres, systems,
closed environments, they would be able to benefit. The motor manufacturer would be able to benefit from that. Then we're not going to see that sort of GM hacking story. So there's
that wouldn't happen to Apple. That's
no,
for sure.
I mean there's mutually beneficial advantages.
No,
from both sides. But just to sit there and try and do everything on your own, I think sometimes you need to admit when you know.
But it's
you're
a strategy
just
a
little out of
Apple. It's a strategy of Apple. They want to do stuff on their own. But if we move to Tesla,
yes, what are they doing?
They because this big car crash happened not so long ago, and somebody lost their life, unfortunately. They've now updated their software to use radar technology. In their self-driving cars. And
so this 60-year-old technology.
Yep.
Fantastic. Well done.
But the nice thing about this technology is it can see through fog, whereas the cameras around the current self-driving cars can't see through stuff.
Which was one of the
causes of that crash.
Yes, okay.
So this radar technology, which I'm sure is being used in conjunction with the cameras. I mean,
no doubt.
They wouldn't drop the cameras.
Well, bats have been doing this for years, haven't they?
Exactly.
Well, I think it's a little more than just years.
Well, millions of years.
Yeah. The military always has answers, though, if you think about it.
Yeah. Well, I think it's fantastic. So they've obviously taken a negative and they've spun it into
a
positive.
They've put it into a positive. And Elon Musk says, you know, you're never going to make something 100% safe. You're always going to reduce risk. And apparently this radar technology, if you're driving behind a car, I mean, if you've ever had a situation where you're driving behind a car and the person in front of you is absolutely oblivious to the fact that the cars in front of him have stopped.
Yeah. Yes. All the time, three times on the way to work.
With the cameras, your car can't notice that. Mm. With the radar technology, apparently they can bounce the signal underneath the car in front of you
to notice that the
traffic was stopped.
To detect what's happening up front. I mean, that's fantastic.
You know, out of a tragedy comes something that actually now
you
works.
Need to break a few eggs to make an omelet.
Exactly.
Hmm.
Exactly.
Nothing, you know.
Well said.
And I'm going to quote a couple of movies. You have to destroy something before you can create something and before you can learn from it.
But
like the first monkey shot into space, sacrifices. Sacrifices need to be made, sadly.
Yeah, but.
Musk knows all about sacrifices.
Yeah,
about his SpaceX exploits from 2 weeks ago.
Well, there we go. Yeah.
What did he do?
What?
Well, SpaceX. Yeah. And the massive. We're going to get a little into space travel and the like.
Hey, that's motoring. It's just going to a different place.
Yeah, they had a massive SRB failure, solid rocket booster failure on the launch pad. And it was quite a scene. And they lost how many billions of dollars? There was a satellite that they were sending up.
It was supposed to give
Money you can replace. I don't know about
India.
Lives. Were there any lives lost?
No, lives lost.
Well, then it's fine.
No lives lost.
Good.
But
and just print more money.
Yeah. No, there was a lot of money lost there. There was an Israeli satellite, I believe it was, that was supposed
to
be sent.
Wasn't it Facebook's Facebook satellite?
It was Facebook satellite.
Facebook satellite that they lost in that crash.
Ridiculous amounts of money. I don't have the numbers straight here, but that was on the launch pad. It was just, there was a fault on the launch launch pad. There's video of it. Go and take a look. It's quite something. Sure. I actually have friends that are still in the Melbourne area.
I'd be worried. I mean, over the weekend. Over the weekend, I met this young boy, Sir Stuart Nthati, whatever his name is. He's going to space, so he's being sponsored by NASA and stuff. He's from Klerksdorp.
South African boy going to space.
Oh, they're from Klerksdorp.
So my, you know, my money is on Apple when it comes to technology, but my money's on
Apple.
My money's on Tesla when it comes to electric and self-driving cars. I agree with you. Apple should stick to technology, and Tesla is, I think, going to be the winner in the end when it comes to cars.
Now, the thing is, if you could get them both of them to sit around the same table, but listen, you've got to understand the mentality of just
both Apple and Tesla.
They do not. They do not buckle. They believe that they are pioneers in their own way, and there's no sharing. Sadly, everybody else suffers, but
I think you know, if more big companies started working together, we'd sort our stuff out so much quicker. But you know, that's just my personal opinion. And on anyone, do you want to add your own personal opinion before we wrap up?
No, I'm just happy that this boy is going to the space and there won't be any crashes. He's going to come back alive and he's proudly South African.
Fantastic.
Yeah.
Chad, what's you got anything fancy happening this week? Any launches or
we got a fantastic, fantastic video that's going to be dropping shortly, so stay tuned to our YouTube channel. I'm currently driving the Peugeot 308 GT line. I am so stoked to be back in that car, and now it's got an automatic gearbox, which jury's still out whether it makes it better or not, but I really do love this car and quite keen to
Does it
to
sound
it.
Nice?
Fantastic.
No. It's a little 1.2 litre three-cylinder, but it drives like it's fantastically styled. We'll take a look at it in the park.
And our Land Rover video goes live today.
Yes, absolutely. Our adventure.
You need to go and watch that. Defender Adventure.
That's going to be out on YouTube a little later on, so please do go and subscribe there. Go and check it out on the social networks, so Twitter, Facebook, and the likes.
Exactly.
Auto Trader South Africa, and show us a little bit of love.
Fantastic.
There.
And just on that closing note, Auto Trader have also launched Ask Auto Trader, so you can literally log on to our site and ask us any motoring related question.
Like the next question. What does GT stand for?
Okay, well, that's for next week. Gran Turismo. And we'll answer the question for you over a specific time period, which is on the site.
Trying to make it as quick as possible, so go to Ask Auto Trader.
Ask Auto Trader and ask us some questions. Guys, have a fantastic week. Keep it safe on the roads. Yes, man. Lovely to be in studio with you guys again.
Yeah, man.
Cheers.
So, T, do you know that we host Motoring's biggest power hour?
Yes, I do.
And do you know that it's not just a show about cars, but it's a show that covers a host of relevant motoring topics?
Yes, I do.
And do you know that there are over 1 billion cars currently in use on Earth, and that the new car smell is composed of over 50 volatile organic compounds?
No.
Make sure you're up to speed with all things motoring by tuning in to Auto Central every Monday morning at 9 a.m. just after the Gareth Cliff Show, or download the podcast on autotrader.co.za. Auto Central, motoring's biggest power hour, powered by Auto Trader.
This is CliffCentral.com.